Prisoner Peter Collins speaks about the corruption that has taken place at the Bath Institution. There have been allegations that prison authorities were selling drugs, selling ETAs, escorted temporary absences, and transfers. Also, Peter Collins' artwork was censored because of the cartoons that he drew depicting this corruption. There were allegations of corruption with the prison authorities and guards at the Bath Institution, and these allegations were for selling drugs, selling ETAs, escorted temporary absences, and transfers. Considering that this is quite serious, and yet it wasn't made known through the media at a national level, do you think that there may have been some sort of cover-up in all of this?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. That it was in the Kingston paper, and I believe it was in the Toronto paper. I think in general that there's just a public apathy to that, that they don't really care, they don't want to hear about it. So the media spoon-feed, you know, the mass public what they think they want to hear, and they probably just don't think they want to hear about that kind of corruption. You know, I don't know what the reason is. It seems like such a important story from my perspective, but then, you know, I'm a prisoner, right? You know, so I could tell you the time. I got here in 99, and I believe in 98 they had been under investigation for some time. So then just before I got here, a guard was found shot in the head at the back of the institution, now where there's no cameras. Now, the odd thing is that he was shot with another guard's service revolver, all right? So what this other guard's story was that Mr. McConnell had driven up to him, told him to meet him at this back lodge where there's no cameras, and then during the course of some conversation asked him if he could see his service revolver and then shot himself in the head. So that's the story, and I'll leave it up to your listeners and yourself to decide what you think about the credibility of the story, but that's the story. What turns out to have happened is, a little background, is that the RCMP had sent word that they were going to arrest him that day, Mr. McConnell. So he was under investigation. I don't know, you know, I'm just guessing, but it's possible that that during discussion with one of his counterparts who may or may not have been involved in it with him, you know, they decided that, you know, that he wasn't going to go down himself, and maybe ended up getting shot for that. I don't know. Or maybe he actually did borrow the gun and shoot himself. I'm a bit cynical, and I think that it might be the former. So during the course of ongoing investigations since then, you know, they removed the deputy warden, they removed the CCO, who's the officer in charge of the institution. However, since then, they've brought the CCO back here, and he's now the deputy warden. And they removed my parole officer, Mr. Chinnery, and they also brought him back. Mr. Chinnery was charged, I think, with doing bank transactions for a prisoner or something like that, you know, and I'm not entirely sure about the specifics on that. But he's back working as well. So, you know, there was, I think, an RCMP investigation, an OPP Penn Squad investigation, and a CSC investigation into all the corruption. I don't know specifics about it, but I do know that it would probably be fairly difficult to locate evidence of someone selling transfers or ETAs or anything like that, because you can't literally sell a transfer. What you can do is doctor reports and make things look better than they are and take out bad things so that the person has a good chance of being accepted to be transferred or paroled or whatever. I don't believe that that this was a big money-making deal for them. I think what they would do is that they would, in some kind of trade, use information, like an informant would share information with them and then get a good report done about himself. So that would be one of the ways that there was corruption, and I think a type of corruption that can be tracked, but I don't believe they were ever looking for that type of corruption. They were looking for bank transactions, which apparently there were some of those, but I just I don't know whatever happened to it, whatever happened to the investigation.
During this investigation, you'd made up some cartoons in regards to the RCMP, the Ontario Provincial Police, and the in-house Correction Services of Canada investigations of staff selling drugs transfers, ETAs, and two of your cartoons were confiscated by the staff who designated the artwork as contraband. What happened after this?
Well, that oddly enough, is also an IPSO thing. Apparently cartoons are, you know, an IPSO concern at this institution. The cartoons were just very mild cartoons. There was it's bath institution, so I drew a picture of a bath, and I had a staff member, a guard, standing in the bath, you know, not depicting, it wasn't a characterization, it was just a generic prison guard standing in the bath saying, ouch, the water's hot, and this isn't how it looks, and I'm not a crook, you know, doing that President Nixon sort of thing. And, you know, around the bath were stacks of money and drugs and parole papers and stuff like that. So they confiscated that cartoon, and the other cartoon was a picture of a prisoner in a chair. He was in a straitjacket with his legs bound and his mouth and his eyes gagged and covered, and then two guards standing beside him talking to each other, saying that, you know, they'd given this prisoner every opportunity, but he just does nothing all day, and he obviously has no initiative or something to that effect. Yeah, I was called into the CCO's office. CCO means officer in charge of the institution. And he told me that my cartoons were unacceptable, and I told him I didn't see why they were unacceptable, and he said because they offend staff. And I said, what did I say? Something to the effect of that staff wouldn't be offended by this cartoon unless they were actually involved in this stuff. And then I asked him why he was offended. And so that was the end of the meeting, and he kicked me out of the office. And he went on to be removed from the institution during the investigation. But again, he was replaced back here recently as the deputy warden. The deputy warden hasn't come back.